I don't believe the microphone is on, is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I hear you. Loud and clear.
Okay.
Yeah. What, you want me to just take over for you? I'm so good at that.
You go, Bill.
Yeah. Just keep talking. You're doing fine.
The antics of We the People Radio, logging in. Well, I have my telephone headset on one ear. I've got the radio headset on the other ear. We have our guest talking to me on the phone, but we can't seem to get him through Skype. Yes, actually, Harry, I do. And everyone else is like, who's Harry? Well, he's the guy in my other ear. I've like a split personality right now. So you're listening to We the People Radio. We will be discussing South Africa again today, and I think you'll find this really interesting in light of all the stuff that has been coming out through the media. And if we all sound like Phyllis Diller or that dog Muttley, you know, with our little voices, it's because you can only see from one exit to you can barely see from one exit to the next on the freeway here. The smoke is so thick today.
It's horrible.
It's actually worse than when the actual town was burning down. This fire is just a little to the north of us and still going on.
Now, what is it now, 40,000 acres?
40,000 acres, called the Delta Fire. And anyone who was thinking about going up I-5, Interstate 5 in California toward Oregon, you should probably rethink that.
Well, it's closed. North and southbound.
That's what I mean. You should rethink that because your routes around are jammed and it's a mess. So anyway, be sure and take note of that.
Yeah.
So let's see. You already know my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and we have a sponsor today, Team Power. They're our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. And if you want a great deal on a tractor, go up and talk to them. They got good inventory right now. And full staff. Our shop is fully staffed and can work on just about any kind of tractor. And right now, they can get you out. And
there
we
go. We got him.
Hello, there he is.
I don't know whether you guys have me now.
Now we do. You're not on my computer. Now you're on Jared's computer. Oh, and someone's going to call us. This is like da 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 da.
Yeah. So anyway, Team Power. They're our sponsor, and their phone number is 226-9226 or 3119 Twinview Boulevard.
Hello.
Go up and see him. Thanks, Harry. And I guess you're up. All right. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about South Africa today and the atrocities going on there and what our State Department is doing about it
or not doing
about it. Yeah. And how we're going to have to recognize there's a big problem down there that we need to get a hold of. So we got Harry on there now?
Yep, we do.
All right.
Oh. No, but we lost him. But is that? That is the happy sound.
Hi, you've got Harry.
There.
I don't know if you can hear me.
We can.
We can hear you now, Harry. Can you hear us? Hello?
Uh-oh.
Hi. Now I can hear you.
All right. There we go. Now we got our connection problem solved.
It's one of those bad call-in shows where everybody's like, can you hear me? I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it seems like for a while there, either one side or the other could hear, but not both at the same time.
I will blame it on the fire. Let's do that.
Which ruins the whole conversational concept there. Holy cow.
So how are you, Harry?
Yeah, I'm fine despite the smoke and the wires.
Yeah. There's definitely a smoke problem here in town today. But so we're going to be talking about, I think, local or not local, but recent issues on South Africa and some of the comments made by our State Department. And what's really happening on the ground over there and why? I think you've got a real good perspective on that, and we're glad to have you.
A really nice historical perspective, actually. So it isn't just an opinion thing or somebody looking from from a distance.
Yeah, not like
commentary.
Yeah, your national news talking heads that often get it completely wrong.
Yeah, CNN.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was looking. Here we go. Finally got my computer to come up. It's funny. All the best laid plans of mice and men today are laid to waste. So let's tell you a little bit about our guest in case you have not tuned in the previous 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows we've done with him. And Harry Williams is an internationally recognized multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist. So you might be asking, why is a defense aerospace physicist talking to us about South Africa? Because he's originally from there. He has a 360-year bloodline in that country. He lives with his family currently in the forested slopes outside of Vancouver, Canada. We used to live on forested slopes or near them. Now we're gonna change our the northern part of our state. We're gonna call it Kingsford.
Yeah, Kingsford, the state of Kingsford.
This looks like a giant briquette. His life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War and the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and British defense establishments. He applies his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy and writes with factual accuracy and in a very engaging style. I can definitely attest to that on these subjects. Hard Evidence is a trademark of his work, and it's won him a number of awards. He focuses on making Americans aware of what is happening in South Africa, the historic parallels between the two countries, and the warning that South Africa holds for Western civilization in general, and the United States of America in particular. So I think you'll find this illuminating, actually, and we've learned a lot over the shows that we have done with you. You can find all of that, I guess I kind of forgot to tell people, at wethepeopleradio.us. We have all of those shows posted. And Harry's information, his website is Cliffwood Fogg. I don't know, is it Fogg or Foggy? It's F-O-G-G-E.
That's English style, Cliffwood Fogg.
Okay, that's what I thought. But then I thought, well, maybe some trick. Seems like there's always a trick. So it's www.cliffwoodfogge.com. And again, that's posted on there. We'll be following, kind of expanding, I guess, on a series of links that that Harry had sent us. And you'll see that on today's page at wethepeopleradio.us. You'll see it on there for discussion on today's show. That's how I marked it. And it's kind of lower down in the page. His book and all those things are on there. And I thought we'd start with the president's tweet, huh? Would you like me to... You want me to include that? Yes?
That would be good.
Okay, so we've been talking about this for a while. And, of course, I just clicked off that page, so I can't see when we first spoke with him. But it's been like a couple of months. And we've been sort of alone. You know, people are like, why are you guys talking about this South Africa thing? And then suddenly, Tucker Carlson did a show on Fox about it, which was kind of amazing. And then out comes a tweet from the president that said, I have asked Secretary of State Pompeo to closely study South Africa land and farm seizures and expropriations and the large-scale killing of farmers. That's kind of an action-packed sentence there, and that's pretty much everything we've been discussing. He goes on to say, South African government is now seizing land from white farmers, and he posts a link there to the Tucker Carlson and Fox News show. That was August 23rd, 2018, he says there at the bottom. And so with that in mind, I guess we're supposed to take a break. Gosh, how things go quickly when we have all this technical falderal at the beginning. But we have a series of YouTube videos that I realize people can't see, but we're doing them for the sound. There are some things that you should hear in the people's own voices, so we'll be integrating that as well. And so hopefully that all goes according to plan. When we come back, our guest, Harry Williams, will launch into this topic, and I think you'll learn a lot. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Soul, then it's just your body, then they go,
just to be clear, the part of Africa we're talking about doesn't get the rain, so. Not like that, anyway. We'd like to have some, though. All right, Harry, where would you like to... I know we've talked about a million things offline, but...
Yeah, okay. So there's probably some merit in just quickly repeating that statement by President Trump, the tweet. And he said, "I've asked Secretary of State Pompeo to closely study the South Africa land and farm seizures and expropriations and the large-scale killing of farmers. South African government is now seizing land from white farmers," and he quotes Tucker Carlson on that. And when he did that, all hell broke loose, both in South Africa and across the left-hand end of the spectrum in the Northern Hemisphere, plus some people in Australia. And I thought there would be some merit in just playing you and your listeners a couple of clips that might give perspective. And the first one, which is clip number one, if you could play that, that is a young lady in South Africa. She is, in fact, at the moment when you hear the recording, she's standing on what we in South Africa would call a kopi. You would call a hill, and the Brits would call a mountain. And this thing is covered by something like 4,000 white crosses to commemorate the murders of white farmers in South Africa. And her father was one of them. He was killed in May of last year. I want you to hear her speak because she responded directly to President Trump. If Jared could help us, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, we can see the video. There we go.
My name is Belinda, and I'm a Afrikaans-speaking Boere Meisie. I want to tell President Trump that farm murders are real. Thank you for looking into it. Today, on the 1st of September, 2018, I just found with my dad's cross here. He was murdered 25th of May, 2017. There's over 4,000 crosses on this mountain. This is a monument. If you look down, I'm at the back of it. There are just thousands of crosses, and they're all over the mountains. We need help. Thank you, President Trump.
That makes it real.
And I just thought that those Americans who I know to be regular human beings would understand what that young lady is going through. Now, I can tell folks that if they were to put the words farm murder into Google, which has been criticized by the same President Trump for slanting its searches, I would like you to know that unlike the young lady whose father is one of the several thousand murdered, a BBC quote will appear at the top of the list of returns from Google, and that BBC quote will be a denial of what's happening in South Africa. People want to tell me that the system is not slanted. They're going to have to look me in the eye, explain it to me and to that beautiful young blonde-headed lady standing on that hill looking at her father's commemorative cross. What kind of people are these that we are dealing with in the media? Someone's going to have to start owning up at some point. So that's the first point.
Gosh, Harry, don't do a Google search, because it also says that the farm murders in South Africa are decreasing.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. So don't do a search.
I know. But here's the thing, and I've mentioned this before. If anybody listening to your program happens to be online at this stage, then go into the same Google, but put in there the word images. Images, I-M-A-G-E-S. The list that comes up will obviously have Google images at the top and nobody else's images. Google will be at the top, but I'll grant them that slanting. That's okay, that's advertising. Then you click on that, and when the Google images page opens up, now put into it farm murders. And please don't let your children see this. Okay, so, and that will reveal what's really going on. So they can slant it to some degree, but they can't keep getting away because the truth has this filthy way of intruding in places and all kinds of nooks and crannies. Now, how about, at this point, I stop telling you what the bereaved young blonde-headed lady is worried about standing next to her father's cross. How about we listen to the man who is goading crowds in South Africa to basically go and take land, and he actually says they should kill the farmers, which I will prove to you in a minute. But if you could play, if Jared could play for us the second clip, and I've indicated where he might stop because there's not much value in going longer, that would be useful. This man's name is Julius Malema, and he is the leader of the third biggest party in parliament, and he is the main instigator of this farm expropriation that is happening in South Africa. He's not the leader of the biggest party. He used to be a member of it. He's split off, and he now leads a thing called the Economic Freedom Fighters. They dress up in red uniforms when they go to parliament, so they're forever sitting in parliament with red uniforms on, causing mayhem and upheaval in the place. And his big thing is that he has it against any form of white people, and he's been dragged into court for singing "Kill the Whites, Kill the Amabulu," as we are called, and he's not allowed to sing that. But you will hear him in a later clip. So if we could have the next clip, this is him talking about Theresa May and President Trump. So I think you'll find this interesting.
Theresa. Theresa must enjoy Cyril Day in Cape Town. They must enjoy each other's company. We have nothing to do with those people. Actually, the EFF policies that we must pull out of the Commonwealth. We can't be participating in colonizers' affairs. She's here to come and monitor and supervise a colony. She's not even hiding it that she's going to talk to Cyril about the land. So Cyril is going to receive warnings. You must be very careful. Unlike that brainless president of the USA, at least she's got a decency of wanting to come and whisper in the ears of Cyril that, don't do it. That one just tweets because he knows no diplomacy, he knows no sovereignty of states. He thinks he's the big brother of all states in the world, and that was during the time of colonialism, not now. Now we're not going to be allowing any colonialist to tell us how we should conduct our affairs in our own countries.
Okay, thank you. That's the bit that I would like folks to hear. He rants on further, as is his wont. But welcome to the United... I'd like to welcome the United States to the club of colonialists. You are now colonialists, and you are led by a colonialist president. Welcome. How do you like that bit?
Yeah, we're not going to have any colonialists down here, although he says it like somehow we showed up and kicked him off his land or something, and so now he's just fixing it, which is really at the heart of this whole thing.
Okay, so now more to the point. Welcome to the boat that my folks are in, because for some or other reason, he sees them as colonialists. I wonder how it is then that 30,000 of our women and children died in concentration camps fighting British colonialism. How is it that we were in two major clashes and two really big wars with the British, defeating them in the first, losing in the second, and them throwing us in concentration camps and things? Because we were fighting colonialism. How did we become the colonialists? And how did you become the colonialists, given your war of independence? Somebody is going to have to ask this creature some questions. But I'd like you to understand the voice of both your and my enemy, because this stuff is happening to the folks in South Africa today. It's coming for you down the line. And that is why I called my book, Amabulu, the birth and death of the Second America, because you know, what's happening in South Africa is like the canary in the coal mine. South Africa has always been to Africa what the United States has been to the world. What is being done to South Africa is what's going to get done to the West, kicking and screaming, unless it wakes up and stops selling out its little brothers on the outer walls of civilization. That's what's going on here. So now that you are well-seated in the colonial club, and you've been confused with Britain, whom you fought in order to get your independence, and whom we fought to get our independence, and both paid a very heavy price, you can now get out the popcorn and all your cold drinks and stuff. And maybe Jared would be so good as to play the next clip where you can hear this very peaceful guy who says that President Trump is not diplomatic and that he's, I can't remember all the nice words he used, the adjectives to describe President Trump. But you can now hear him in his full diplomatic best in front of a crowd in South Africa. Now, remember, the BBC says, no, there's not really any of this stuff going on in South Africa. And the people are shaking their heads and wondering, what on earth is this about? I would like you to hear what it is that South Africans on the ground are actually hearing and what people hide from you, because you've got the media, the formal media is between you and the truth. And that's why we are so glad that President Trump has declared war on the formal media, because it truly is hiding the truth from people. If Jared would be so good as to play the next clip, you'll hear the same Julius Malema on stage. Remember, he has been ordered by court that he may not say, kill the boer. And I have to explain what is meant by boer. The word boer in Afrikaans, my language, and Dutch, means farmer. It's the same as Bauer in German. So when he says, kill the boer or kiss the boer, he means kill or kiss the farmer. But always remember, he's got to avoid saying, kill the boer. So he just substitutes it with kiss the boer. But listen to what he does around it on that stage. I shall now shut up and appeal to Jared to help me.
Kill, Kumasa, shoot to kill, kill him, kiss the poor, the farmer, kiss the poor, the farmer, burpa, pa, burpa, pa, attention.
And that would get you thrown. Well, we got to see the video. Yeah. That would get you thrown out of every elementary school, because when they were going pow, 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 they all had their fingers in the shape of a gun. So obviously they were saying kill. We have to take a really quick break on that unpleasant note. And we're going to come back with our guest, Dr. Harry Billions. And we're talking about South Africa today. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
That was kind of a frightening clip to watch. I mean, I can't imagine being anywhere near that rally when it broke up, because I think your life would definitely be in danger. But my question is, why is Britain so adamant about none of this actually is true? Why are they on that side of this? Uh-oh. Do we have Harry?
Howdy, Arden.
Hi.
Oh, there
you are. Did you hear my question, Harry?
No, it was completely dead, just with a swishing sound.
Okay.
can't have too many swishing sounds in your life.
You were saying that Britain is in denial that any of this is going on down there. Why are they taking...
Not Britain, the BBC. There are many Brits who are perfectly decent.
Okay, all right. I misunderstood then. So they're just part of the media that is denying any of this is
yes.
happening. Okay, all right.
Yeah, even Trump has taken a look at a BBC reporter very early on and looked at him and he said, yeah, you're a pretty one.
yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that's understandable because our press over here, for the most part, I mean, we have a few networks that are broadcasting the truth, but for the most part, our media is totally off base, and I think people are starting to see that what they're reporting is slanted, and you know your Facebook, your Twitter, your Google, MSN, they're all the same. They're all giving one side of the story on most of these type of issues, and you've got to really dig to get the truth.
Yes, but it is amazing to see from outside the degree to which your country is being bamboozled. It is frightening because
it is.
With 330 million people, the biggest economy on earth, the most highly trained nation, more resources than any nation on earth has ever had, the most powerful entity the planet has ever seen, it is completely manipulated by a group of people whose heads I cannot begin to understand, and I'm a scientist.
Yeah, well, they think there are more than two genders. I mean, that really outlines the scope of the problem.
These corporations have gotten so powerful, these media corporations, and they're just whitewashing everything that people see and hear. It's frightening.
Bill, you know, a small confession here before we go back on the air is my longest-standing friend.
We're on the air.
We're on the air, Harry.
Yeah, your confession is complete.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, the United States is the dream I will never have. It is the dream I will never have. As a kid, I grew up, and that is what I aspire to. I will never have my dream. And I see what people are doing to it, and it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. You have everything going for you as a country, and this is what your media does? What a sorry, pathetic mess. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't know we were back on the air. My apologies to the listeners, and sorry for choking up a little.
That's okay.
Perfectly legitimate. You grow up in a country and you watch it being destroyed to the point where in 2000, I guess for the people who don't know you, we know you well, and a lot of our listeners do, but you lived in South Africa for 47 years?
That's right.
Yeah.
I grew up there. My blood is in that sand for 360 years, you know,
yes.
Literally in many cases.
Yeah, we're like a microcosm of what's going on. I mean, we have people leaving our state because of our politics and how upside down it's gotten. Here you had to leave your country because of this type of stuff.
Well, you really saw the handwriting on the wall,
exactly.
even 18 years ago.
Well, I saw it on the wall, but the moment that the hammer hit the anvil, so to speak, is when a guy whom we knew to be very closely allied with that government, he was a political officer placed in our organization, right? And I faced off with him in a meeting with my colleagues of different skin colors and ethnic groups. There were South African Indian guys, there were South African so-called colored guys, there were at least two black managers, all in this little stand-up meeting during a coffee break. And this guy looked at me and I looked him straight in the eye and I told him, well, you know, you've already reduced the president of this organization to a trembling mess, basically. He's totally ineffectual now. So why, you know, if you want to get rid of him, get rid of him, because there's no good of him being there anymore. And he said, no, Harry, you don't understand. We want to get rid of all the guys like you.
Yeah.
Because you're white.
Yes. Absolutely.
Not that you were some bad middle manager or something like that.
No. I mean, no, just they, in fact, they tried to get all kinds of things on me, so to speak. And I guess the best testimony to my name and my life is the fact that the black employees of our organization kept defending me, and I wasn't even aware of it. None of them came and told me that. I was told that afterwards, that repeatedly they stood up for me.
Right.
Okay. So I had it stenciled into my forehead. You can't really miss that. Okay. We've dwelt off here, I think, to some degree. But I'm
sure
like
we had nothing to do with
that,
it.
That ordinary American folks with two ears who are listening to your show today heard what that Malema guy is doing on a stage, and I trust you heard the adulating audience afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've posted the clip so people can go watch them.
Oh, yeah. You can just, you know, two words into YouTube, these things. But I want you to hear another organization, which is essentially the South African Black Lives Matter group.
Mm.
Okay? They're not called Black Lives Matter, but if Black Lives Matter were in South Africa, they would be with these guys. And so I would like to ask Jared to play us, let me just make quite sure.
I think it's the fifth one, right?
No.
Oh, it fourth should one. Be
clip it's number the four. How about you hear it directly from the mouths of the guys that we're struggling with. Just in case there's any confusion after hearing that guy on the stage, the bits that the BBC denies, by the way, how about you listen to the next bit and then tell me what you would do if you're living in that country? And remember, you have no so-called right of return to another country. We lost that in 1814 when the Dutch sold us lock, stock, and barrel to the Brits.
Okay, let's
like
go ahead.
The Dutch sold you in the 1680s to the Brits.
Right.
They sold us in 1814 to the Brits. After that, we became British subjects. So, from that moment on, white South Africans had nowhere else to go back to. Sure, there were some immigrants from Britain and a couple of other places who joined later, but the vast bulk of people like me had no right of return to anywhere. That's the country. It's the only place they've known since their ancestors arrived there in the 1650s to 1700. So hear these people in the next clip. And this is an interview done by a young Canadian lady with this organization in South Africa. So you don't have to believe me as an ex-South African. You can just listen to a Canadian lady having this interview. If Jared would be so good. Thanks.
Okay.
We don't want your handovers. We don't want you to feel pity for us. We are coming for you, and we are going to get everything that you owe. It's ours. Talking.
There you go. Is there anything unclear about that?
No, we're going to get everything you own, and it's ours.
Now, that gentleman speaking, what was his affiliation?
No, I think it was a lady, actually.
That's a young lady, and the organization is called Black First, Land First.
Okay. And do they have any real say in governmental?
No, they're not. They're just like Black Lives Matter. You don't have Black Lives Matter in Congress, right?
Right.
Okay. That's the same thing.
Okay.
We kind of do, but okay.
Okay. So it's an organization that works on the side. But, you know, I think I've heard one criticism of them once ever from Nancy Pelosi about Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, they think they're great.
I think I heard once ever. Okay, that kind of makes the point. So that's the calibration. And you need to understand that, and there's no point to denying black-white, the words, anymore. When people use words like that, it's over. We have to talk race.
Yeah,
when
all the policies are predicated on killing the white people and taking white people's land. I mean, they say that. It isn't inferred.
No, it's not about nationality or anything. It's about skin color, and that's
skin color.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I think the thing that demonstrates the skin color thing the best is a hilarious event that happened, I think it was 2008. And that is that the Chinese South African community, and I have friends in that community, and some of them have emigrated, and I play with them in a band here in Vancouver. Okay, they're very good friends of mine. The South African Chinese community, by 2008, were dominated no longer by people from Taiwan, but by people from mainland China. And they went to the government and complained that the Black Economic Empowerment Act in that country is harming them because it treats them as white people. And so the government effectively declared them what is known as honorary black, so that they would not be subject to what white people are subject to. Does that make it clear?
Yeah.
That's... So it really actually isn't...
No, it's about skin color. We've got to take a break. But when we come back, let's stay on that vein, because that's the part that's going to turn this thing around, is when people realize...
I don't know. Seem to be able to get away with it that direction, but not the other.
I think they've finally crossed the line.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I think they have, and I think the world is hearing.
Yeah.
Hopefully. We are here with our guest, Dr. Harry Bouillons, and we're talking about South Africa. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. There you go.
Yeah, so I hope the clips have given folks a feeling for what things are like right now in South Africa. They've heard the reality on the ground, and they are hearing people target white people by virtue of the color of their skins, and there's no two things about it. I would like to now go back another stage, so as to just hopefully destroy a myth that Americans have been subjected to ever since the early mid-1980s. And I saw it unfold in front of my eyes. I was an aware and active human being at the time, and I heard and saw things go to hell and experienced it for myself. Going to the United States repeatedly before about 1985, and again going in 1986, and having been changed from a normal human being to one who is not allowed to go into buildings, one who's thrown out of taxis, all kinds of stuff. And this happened at the hand of a guy called Randall Robertson, or Robinson, who at one point left the United States calling it a racist something. I can't remember his exact words, but he put his tail between his legs and he returned after a while. But this is the creature who sat in judgment of white South Africans and sketched for you as a nation a picture of Nelson Mandela that has stood until today as this virtuous creature who could do absolutely nothing wrong. Yet he is the start of all of this. And I would like for you to hear the clip when Nelson Mandela sings "Kill the Whites." The image, which your visitor or listeners cannot see, is very early in the 1990s, before the great election that brought him to the presidency in South Africa. He is standing in a small knot of people. It is the day when his party swore off violence. And he stood there, and then they broke into the anthem of their organization. I repeat that, the anthem of their organization. What do I mean when I say their organization? He was the man who created the military wing of what was the ANC party, the party who was today in power in South Africa. And He is standing there with his suit on. He raises his right hand, or his right arm, with his hands in the international clenched fist. And next to him is standing a white guy in a green shirt. His name is Ronnie Casrils, and he was, by 1990, the actual leader of Umkhonto weSizwe, otherwise known as the Spear of the Nation, the military wing of this party, the one that had bombed various places. I will quote you the CIA on that organization after hearing the clip. There's something you need to know before listening to it, and that is that the title of my book is Amabulu. That word means Ama, which means people or people of, and Bulu, which is an isiXhosa corruption of the word boer. Boer means farmer, and so when a Xhosa person says Amabulu, he means the farmer people or the white people then. So they're gonna, Nelson Mandela is gonna sing for you the song generally these days known as Kill the Whites, and he will pronounce it in his mother tongue of isiXhosa as Bulala Amabulu. So if you guys would be so good as to play that clip for us.
Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's super fun when you read the words in the subtext here under here. We, the members of MK, have pledged ourselves to kill them, the Amabulu, the whites. Yeah. That's pretty direct.
So the point is that the narrator at that time is an interviewer from the South African Broadcasting Corporation, and he goes on to ask Mandela, Mr. Mandela, how do you bring this together? You're saying peace and brotherhood about the nation to the world outside, but you're standing here with a clenched fist singing Kill Them.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
It's all about inclusiveness.
I just want you to know, you guys have got to be careful. There's 330 million of you. You're very rich. You're very powerful. If you get a cold, the world gets pneumonia. Okay? Hmm. And the point is, people are messing with your head. You need to start knowing this. Okay? And one person who messed with your head was Randall Robinson. And he portrayed this man to you as a saint, you know, that walks on water. There he stood in front of the cameras singing Bulala Lamabulu, Kill the Whites, in so many words. And then people still argue with me. I just don't understand on what grounds they argue. There are no grounds. He's singing Kill the Whites. Okay. Now, a couple of years before that singing, I just want to find the notes here for you somewhere. The ANC, this is actually, let me take this bit. This is the CIA in what is called a Special National Intelligence Estimate for 1986, which is the year that the United States Congress applied comprehensive sanctions to South Africa, and which it was that act that eventually brought the ANC to power in South Africa. Here is what a Special National Intelligence Estimate by the CIA, since declassified but heavily redacted, and I have it, says, quote, most ANC bombings since last year have been directed against civilian rather than government targets. A recent ANC statement specifically noted that white farmers and urban white males were considered by the ANC as part of the government security forces, unquote, and were valid targets for ANC operations. And that is why they used anti-tank mines to blow up farmers and their families. Now, why are people surprised when this organization promotes basically the taking of farms and looks away while farmers are being tortured to death? Where exactly were people in 1986 that they were denying even what the CIA was reporting.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to start explaining to the souls of the dead farmers what the hell they were thinking.
Yeah. And they're not, it's not like these people, I don't know, dying is dying, you know, so they still can't come back. But these people aren't just killed. It isn't like a drive-by shooting or something. I mean, they're tortured.
On this Wednesday, the particular farmer wasn't killed, but they used Roundup. I'm not sure I'm allowed to use a trade name on the air, but
go ahead.
A well-known North American weed killer.
Roundup.
Was, you know, the one that you would use to kill off the grass that's getting into your driveway at home. They sprayed that into his eyes after overpowering him, and not happy enough to blind him, they then coated his entire body in Roundup so that by the time that people arrived to help him, he was already foaming by the mouth from poisoning.
Mm.
Now, it so happens in history that I've had a pressurized bottle of Malathion explode basically over my body. I ran like hell for the bathroom, ripping clothes as I went, and took a shower immediately, and I still got very sick. Okay? So, it's no good just hurting people anymore. It's no good just killing them. They first have to suffer. That's what's going on. And it's as though there is a competition for who can make white people die most badly. It's not good enough to just kill them. There is no mercy here. This is torture for the sake of the torture and the enjoyment thereof. And you think ISIS is bad?
Yeah, and this is also for the stealing of their land that they intend to just let go to waste. I mean, at the end, there's no purpose for any of this.
Yeah, the purpose is to terrorize these people off land and then to terrorize white people out of the country. People need to start getting that clear. That's what this is about. So I would at some point, I don't know whether we are.
We have like a minute left. So maybe what are we going to talk about next hour so people can survive the five minutes of news?
What I would like to get back to is I think folks deserve a picture of essentially the lay of the land and the numbers underpinning all of this story of they must have the land, people stole the land, all that stuff. You know, where is this thing about the invader and the stealer of the land and I don't know what else?
Yeah, because there is no history of the stealing of the land. That's the tricky part. All right. So, in the break, if people have the ability to get to their computer, I think that'll probably be useful. And there are some great articles that Harry gave us we've posted for you. It's under the For Discussion on today's show. I think you'll really like it. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back in 5 minutes.